You're listening to Power Talks on the Valkyrie podcast, where we inspire you by talking to people who are killing it in their fields and dig into their origins, their motivators, and their success stories. I'm your host, Meg Nicholson. I'm an entrepreneur, fitness coach, multidisciplined designer and goal-getter, and the founder of Valkyrie Athletic Apparel. Stay tuned for your dose of everyday inspiration coming up on Power Talks. On Power Talks today, I'm chatting with Liz Johnston, an entrepreneurial Wonder Woman and mum of two. She's built her incredible ethical bath and body brand, Vitea, from the ground up, and today she's taking us on the journey of building her brand. We talk through what inspires her and what it's like to run a growing family business. I'm so thrilled to invite you to listen to the Inside Scoop on Vitea, welcoming the beautiful boss woman, Liz Johnston. Before we get started, just something to note. This particular episode was recorded in late 2019, just before I relocated my businesses to the UK. So keep that in mind if anything sounds a little bit out of context, and enjoy. Well, Liz, thank you so much for coming on the Valkyrie podcast.
Pleasure. Thanks, Meg, for having me.
I'm very excited to hear more about your business and how you got to where you are and where you're going with it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to share.
I'm going to start with something more general. And as an entrepreneur and business owner, what would an average day look like for you?
As most entrepreneurs know, the average day is quite erratic. You know, it's not programmed. We try and program as much as possible, but often I've also got kids. So as a mother, it can start ridiculously early in the morning.
What's ridiculous?
I hate to say, but sometimes 4 a.m. or something, 4:30, we go to bed very early in our house, so it's not as bad as it sounds. Maybe we'll put the kids to bed at 8, so usually we're in bed about 8:30, and then obviously then up at 4, sort of doing maybe 4:30, maybe twice a week that happens, and then up, get the kids to school, and then usually go and do a few orders, pack a few orders, online orders, go to the office, check a few emails. You know, it's always a combination. I try and have it systemized throughout the week, but often because things just pop up unexpectedly, meetings, yes. Always trying to connect with
podcasts, annoying things like that.
No, absolutely. Well, this is all part of it. And look, this is why, you know, being an entrepreneur, it's really an adventure. It's exciting. It's no 2 days are the same. You connect with the most amazing people that, you know, I wouldn't change for the world, but it does come with its, you know, the other side of not being, of not knowing what's the uncertainty,
yes.
I guess.
Yes. And I definitely wanted to talk more about that.
Yes.
Well, okay. So that's your typical, atypical day.
Yeah, atypical.
What would your ideal day be?
Okay, the ideal day would be waking up at 6, doing meditation, going to the gym, yoga, and having a great breakfast, getting to work, having like 3 staff to help me, somebody to help with the storeroom, somebody to check the emails, at the same time, you know, as well, just, you know, doing some product development. So that's the part of the job that I, the creative aspect of it. That's my background, artistic background, but at the same time, grew up in a family of skincare specialists, so quite passionate about quality and, you know, just developing the product line along our values, being natural and organic.
No, that's always it. It's finding time for the actual creative part. I've found that recently with my brand, being like, oh, okay, I've got to do X, Y, and Z. This is all sort of logistical, administrative, finance, whatever. I don't remember the last time I actually designed some clothes.
I know. So, look, this is what we all need, and this is the problem with often people that do start their own business. They're often very creative, and it's a bit of a catch-22, because what really drives a business and creates a successful business is really a strong grounding, you know, and that comes from being possibly more of a structured type personality, yes. Really being able to manage the finances, the accounting, the you know, those parts of the business, you know, to systemize and automate it. So it's always finding a balance between those two sides.
Yeah, and I completely agree. And I think to make it work, you need to enjoy
all of it.
Exactly, exactly. So that, so when you ask what would be my ideal day, it would be having a having an operations person to manage all that. But mm-hmm. I'm still in that growth phase.
Sure.
And so once I get there, so you just sort of have to juggle it and throw caution to the wind and hope that, you know, just know that you're doing the right thing.
So Vitae's a skincare.
Yeah, it's
how would
really
you describe
about
it?
Natural beauty. So it's really family. Yes. We have the organic baby range, certified organic baby range. And then we obviously have the natural family range, which is shampoos, shampoo, conditioner, body oils, oil washes, and skincare, hand cream, face cream. And by family, I mean it's really essentials, exactly. It's everyday use products. And, you know, it's really designed to be multi-use products for the whole family.
That feels so much.
Yeah.
I hate going into a shower or, you know, you're at a friend's place or something and then there's 10 bottles for every person and you sort of, God, it's a nightmare just to look at. I love the simplicity of what you've created.
Exactly. And that's sort of, you know, and that's something that really trying to drive, because in your business as well with activewear and but at the same time, you know, we're in this sort of in environment where we're trying to do the right thing in wellness and in natural health and natural beauty, but at the same time it's a bit of a catch-22 because we're still producing more products.
Yes.
You know, and there's obvious question is, do we really need any products? You know, there's a problem with, you know, oversupply, overconsumption. Mm-hmm. So therefore it's that aim to try and streamline it, cut out the clutter, be more of a multi-use product. And as you said, like, the husband or the boyfriend doesn't need a separate product, and then the
Matt just
wife.
Steals my shampoo, and I'm like, you need to start paying for it if you're
exactly.
going to be using
and then
that.
The teen and the tween. I mean, it's seriously, yeah. Like when you see families and they have the baby, the toddler, the teen, the tween, and then obviously the husband, the wife. It's just not necessary.
No.
So we're really trying to cut down on that. And
oh, that's
just
awesome.
Clear out those bathroom cabinets. You look, if you have a healthy lifestyle, if you're doing your exercise, if you're eating well, not drinking too much alcohol or not drinking at all, drinking lots of water, your skin's going to be beautiful as it is. So it's just, you know, taking it back. It's a whole lifestyle change and working towards more of a natural way of living, which essentially filters down to the kind of products that you need in the bathroom, because you just don't need it. Because I know what's in some of these products, and I know that they're pretty much the same products, and there's a lot of pressure.
You read the labels and it's at least, you know, the first few ingredients, which are the major ones, are all exactly the same.
Exactly. I know. Look, it's pressure from retailers for a lot of brands to fill retail space. So that's really the little bit of a secret, is that they want to maximise retail space in the pharmacy or the health food or whichever.
Sure.
Department store, and to have more of a presence. So as we move to a more online economy, digital economy, hopefully then that will take the pressure off having to have like 30 different product lines or even 50 different product lines, you know, 100 different freight. We just don't need it. You know, that's just...
I find it really refreshing when I'm starting to see more and more like e-commerce sites where there's a brand that only has one product or three or five. But, you know, it's creating the space to really specialise and do some things very well.
Yes.
Rather than doing it for, I never really knew the other side of it, so that's really interesting.
Exactly, and that's what we're all about. You know, if you just do really good formulations with very good ingredients, with plant oils and extracts, you just don't need all the different products, and that's what we're about. It's about quality, you know, and that's just what it's all about, quality
absolutely.
Over quantity. And, you know, our products have all been formulated uniquely for us by cosmetic scientists, you know, that are specialists, some of the best in Australia. So therefore we're quite confident that the quality of the products are amazing, and therefore just using them daily, you don't need to use face oils, because we've got a body oil that the ingredients, and a lot of people have told me this, are the same as some face oils that you might use, but you might be paying maybe 10 times the amount for that face oil.
And you get a smaller bottle.
Exactly. Look, it's crazy. And hopefully, you know, we're changing. We're starting to ask ourselves more questions. And even when it comes down to, you know, for example, you know, skin ailments like eczema or psoriasis or other dry skin conditions, mothers or people have told me that our balm that we have, which is all made from plant extracts, it's 99.18% certified organic, is as effective, if not more effective, than the steroids that they've been prescribed by the doctor.
Which become ineffective.
Exactly, which become ineffective and damage the skin. And you don't want to use toxins. You just don't need to. So it's asking the question, can we use natural plant extracts and oils and such to heal our skin? And if we can, then why not? Why do we need to use all these synthetic chemicals that are made in laboratories? And I can tell you why, because they're cheaper. And so a lot of these big companies, huge pharmaceutical companies, and let's face it, they're some of the richest companies in the world, a lot of these ingredients are made as synthetic chemicals that are manufactured in laboratories really inexpensively and are then put into these skin creams that are told that we need to use to heal our skin ailments or infections or anything. Because they're cheap, but we actually don't really need them. And if you use natural products in the first place, it's preventative anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Mm. I mean, there's this whole thing, you know, where obviously natural products are still made of chemicals. So are they recreating those same chemicals in labs? Is that what they're doing?
They're done in a more natural way. So the whole essence...
The pharmaceutical companies you're talking about, you're saying they use chemicals.
Yes.
Obviously your products are still chemicals found in nature.
Exactly.
Are they copying those?
Let's say, exactly. Look, the definition of a chemical, water is a chemical. Mm. So we have to be careful with how we use that word chemical.
Yes.
And so the words that I often use are synthetics.
Yes.
So synthetic chemicals is where they mimic the chemical compounds of nature in a laboratory where you don't have to go out to the fields, you don't have to spend the money on growing agriculture, which can become quite expensive. So therefore, synthetically manufacturing these synthetic compounds in a laboratory is obviously hugely inexpensive. And yeah, they are very similar, but they, because of the whole process of how the compounds are made, they sometimes need to add certain ingredients to it that can be quite hard, basically can be quite drying for the skin.
Yes.
So things like alcohols.
Yes.
You know, pure alcohol. Alcohol is a great preservative, as we all know, but you try putting alcohol on your skin and everybody knows how incredibly drying it is. We know that if you put alcohol on a cut or something like that it does heal it.
Sure.
It's very strong antiseptic, but it's drying. So if you have like a rash or something that's not necessarily an open wound, if you put like alcohol on it, it's going to dry it out, but it's also going to burn the skin.
Yes.
So that's how these alcohol compounds in some of these eczema and dry skin treatments, how they can actually irritate the ailment of which they're trying to heal. We've created a balm that's now one best healing balm in Australia, 2 years running.
Wow.
And it's got now no alcohol in it. As I mentioned earlier, it's 99.18% certified organic. And as people that have used it have said, it heals eczema, if not as good as steroids, but probably better.
Wow.
So no alcohol, no irritating
skin. What's the main ingredients in it?
So the main ingredients in it is, so we've got like a shea butter, cocoa butter, tamanu oil, moringa oil.
Nourishing and moisturising.
Exactly. So what it does is it seals the skin. So it protects, it keeps the good moisture into the skin and it prevents the harmful bacteria from accessing the irritated skin, so thereby decreasing the chance of an infection. But at the same time, we have like key oils in this balm, like obviously chamomile CO2, which is the skin, which is healing. And we have tamanu, which we source from the South Pacific Islands. So this is tamanu is an oil which comes from all sorts of, which has been used for thousands of years by many different Pacific Islands. It's been used in Sri Lanka, in India, always to heal the skin. And so although we haven't done the clinical trials, which if you do have a synthetic compound, you do need to do clinical trials.
Yes.
We have evidence which is through thousands of years of use. And disparate communities have been using this oil and always to treat wounds on the skin.
I love that.
It's great, and it's fantastic because we also get to support the communities of the South Pacific.
Yeah, because there's a lot of grounding of your brand in the South Pacific, like the name, for example, and the artwork. Can you tell us how that all links in?
Yeah, absolutely. So Vitea by name is from Polynesian folklore. It comes from a story of the father of gods, of how the islands of the South Pacific were created. But really it came about because my father and I, my dad, he had a skincare company, so I always grew up with skincare, and he thought about doing a range based on coconut oil.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to the South Pacific, but whilst I was there, I obviously learned a lot about tamanu oil, moringa oil, and just connecting with some of the islanders and learning all about their, you know, how they've been treating ailments for the skin for thousands of years. That's what really intrigued me. So thereby the South Pacific became a sort of a source of creativity for our range.
Yeah.
But all of our products are all manufactured in Australia.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so we took inspiration from the South Pacific. We saw some of the oils. We worked with the islands. in terms of the product development, mm-hmm. And that we also created the range of illustrations that also connect those islands.
You have the most beautiful packaging.
Yeah, thank you.
It's gorgeous.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's all about the shells and the plants and the ocean. And again, they're a pencil, they're hand-drawn illustrations. So again, sort of connecting that organic elements between the ocean and the plants, and obviously the people us that are actually using the products. But it's also takes that step of I grew up with a family of skincare, and my dad, he had products for eczema, but they're always really very medicinal looking.
Yes.
And from my experience, so many kids have eczema, almost all. So many people have
it. My mum had it.
I know. Yep. So almost one, there's usually one person in every family that suffers from some form of dry skin condition.
Yes.
So I thought about creating a range that was for sensitive skin that the whole family can use and that looks better. So it's not a medicinal looking product, but it works. So it acts A as a preventative range and B as a support range for any of the members of family who do suffer eczema. But at the same time, we obviously have a decorative aesthetic element to it as well. So it doesn't have to be put at the bottom of the of the bathroom cabinet or anything like that. It's something for the whole family to use.
You gave me some of your oil when I was doing my comp prep, and I just keep it on display.
Yeah, you know, that's
it's
great.
Like with all my beautiful bottles, I only use maybe 3-4 products total.
Wow.
And I'm always on this search to find the ultimate of each item, whether it's hair or face or, you know, moisturizer or whatever. And you know, like you're saying, minimize it.
Yes.
Minimize the number of products I need. So, you know, I'll test through multiples, and then my goal is to have one for each.
That's awesome, yeah.
Essential purpose. So,
yeah.
And it helps when they look pretty, so I can.
I know, exactly.
When I'm being messy, leaving things out.
Yeah, of course.
It looks intentional.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what it's all about. It's being able to use it on the body. It's being able to use it on the face. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, it's very gentle. But, yeah, exactly. It's just cutting down on all the clutter, because it is unfortunate that we do have to use the plastics, and we've definitely looked at other alternatives, bioplastics and glass, but we are a family range, and, you know, we've even the plastics, sometimes the plastic bottles fall off the kitchen bench or the bar shower.
Yeah.
So therefore we just thought, look, just let's cut down on the amount of plastics and let's make sure they're recycled. And we'd love to support any, you know, businesses where, you know, we're using more recycled plastic to make the products as well. But yeah, it's that multi-use, amazing for the face. That's what I use day in, day out.
Oh, on your
day.
Face.
Yeah, fantastic. Morning and night. And
love
the
it.
Body wash as a face wash as well, mm-hmm. because again, it comes down to the quality of the formulation. No ingredients in there that are irritating. So they clean, but the body wash cleans, but it doesn't dry.
Mm.
And it's really effective.
Yeah. I'd much rather get something. I don't mind paying for quality, but I want something that's going to work.
Yes.
You know? And like, as in like do the work, you know, be more than what something else is.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a challenge, you know, it's something, and we have to just keep working towards quality over quantity,
mm-hmm.
and just educate people and inform people that it is possible. And there is another benefit of using natural products, mm-hmm. which I can 100% back up, is that you shower screen. You don't get that scum.
All the scum on
I promise. Yeah, so try it and let me know. But we have glass shower screen. Shower screen, and after 2 weeks, I mean, we obviously do wash our shower weekly, but even if you don't, even after 2 weeks, there's just a quick wipe down. There's no soap scum.
Wow.
Because they're all sulfate, paraben-free.
And they dissolve in the water.
Exactly. It dissolves in the water. So you can imagine if you are using those sulfate soaps that often are supermarket-type soaps, you can see what it's doing to your bathroom, to your shower
screen. And that's all going down to the ocean as well.
Well, it's going on the ocean, and it's obviously going on your skin. So you get build-up in your scalp from the shampoos, and obviously on your skin it's drying. So... And you just don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
Just go natural.
Oh, I love what you're doing.
And as you said, like ocean friendly, so it goes down the drain.
Yeah.
So it's more. So going back to like what natural beauty actually is it's that effort. It's the efforts that we make to create products that are as close to nature as possible. But at the same time, we need to keep them safe.
Yes.
So we do need to have preservatives in the products, because obviously, you know, you've got a steamy shower. We know what happens in humid environments, mm-hmm. is that's the perfect environment for molds to grow. So we do need preservatives, but we use extremely natural, very safe and very subtle preservatives in the range.
Yeah. Mm. No, and it's not like we can all have, you know, the oil on hand or, you know, a plant in the backyard. No. It's still got to be practical.
Exactly. Look, it's – and some people do make their own products and that's great. But at the same time, our products have been made by the best cosmetic scientists in Australia for natural beauty. So we've made them – they're practical and they work. Yes. And I've tried so many different soaps. I've tried so many different shampoos. And trying to get that balance of a shampoo that actually works after you've been in the gym and you've been sweating a lot and your hair gets quite greasy, obviously, when you do, you know, have that sweat build up. So you do need that lather to clean the hair, but it's really subtle and it will thoroughly, it will rinse out quite easily. And then just applying the shampoo, the conditioner to your hair afterwards.
Yeah.
And again, going back to that multi-use with the conditioner, I mean, you know, it makes me laugh how many shampoos for different hundreds of different hair types that we see on the shelves these days. Straight hair, curly hair, fine hair, thick hair, coloured hair, grey hair. You know, we have one shampoo, we have one conditioner. They're used in salons in around Sydney.
It's so good. Yeah. And, you know, you were talking about the plastics before and that is such a big issue at the moment. But, you know, like what we said at the beginning, when you're taking what might have been 20 plus 50 products from a family and bringing it down to less than 10.
Yeah.
If you had everything.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, yeah.
Then you're saving.
Yeah.
And you know, they're big bottles, you're getting value from them, you're not rebuying. So I think you're still
Look, we do refills as well. So I so I do have people that will get refills.
Oh, fantastic. How does that work?
Yeah, so they come basically we just connect and they let me know that they'd like a refill and either they send me back their bottle or sometimes we meet if we're local and then I'll just refill it. And we'll have a laugh because efforts that we go to do the refills because we're obviously quite committed to the to doing what's right.
Yeah.
But it is a little bit of work and I think in our society we're not used to having to work very hard for our products. We're used to having everything easy and if it's requires any element of effort, we sometimes put it into the too hard basket. But that's where we have to rethink things.
Yeah.
And think, look, it is going to be a little bit of effort. We have to try a bit harder to be more efficient with how we recycle. But at the same time, it comes down to the recycling companies and how we actually process that plastic that is recycled because we know there's a few issues about that. But it's if we do use better quality plastics that they are easily recycled. Just cutting down on all the clutter. We just don't need so much.
I think that's what will make the biggest difference.
Yeah. And it's thousands of samples. We don't need that. If things are off, again, if you go look in if you can look in your bathroom cabinet at the moment or your bathroom and just look on the shelves and anything that's out of date, just get rid of it, throw it away. Even if it's some famous, like a favourite high-end French European brand that somebody might have given you like 3 years ago, and I know it's really hard to throw out that Chanel moisturiser or something like that, or Estée Lauder from 4 or 5 years ago, but the chances are it's probably off. You're not going to use it, so just get rid of it all and just rethink how to do things and think about some of those brands that do use really harsh preservatives. That's why they last 3 or 4 years. And just go for natural because it's far better for your skin.
Yeah.
Better for the environment.
I've done a lot of that recently, the big clear outs and God, we went through like the medicine cabinet. Oh my God.
Things
just sit in there as well. It's really freeing to cut the clutter.
Well, we've moved house a few times, as you know, in the last year, year and a half, and therefore we have had to like be really streamlined with everything, with clothes, it's just quite good to know we just don't need that much. And look, I know it's easy. I've got, you know, two daughters, age 10 and age 8, and they do they're obviously growing quickly and they do go through a lot of clothes. So sometimes we do need to, it's hard to spend, we don't want to spend too much money on it and we're not in the position to, going back to how things are meant to be, using quality. But it's like your leggings as well. It's great how people have been wearing the active wear out. And I think it's a huge, step forward in the efforts that activewear companies like yourself are making, that they enable us to wear them out because they basically look a lot better than us than what the old cotton leggings used to look.
And that's exactly it. Like, I've got a very similar approach in that, you know, I have gone to every length to find the best quality fabrics, the best local manufacturers to create a product that's really high quality, that will last, that is multifunctional. You know, instead of having a running legging and a yoga tight and a gym pant, I've combined all the essentials of a lot of those different styles into one sort of ultimate, which, you know, I'll continue to develop and improve upon. But, you know, we don't need
I know.
Those, and now I'm thinking about the 20 pairs of tights in my cupboard, but you know, we won't talk about that.
I know. Well, it's obviously your business, so that's your business outfit. Sure. That's your outfit. Yeah. You need to wear it every day. But, yeah, again, it's just – yeah, it's trying to, yeah, keep things neutral and, yeah. And yeah,
that's definitely the end goal. Have like the ultimate of each thing, which is a constant process, but it's fun.
Well, it's minimalism, isn't it? Yeah. Minimalism is the way forward. Anti-clutter.
Yes.
Yeah, Marie Kondo, everything, doing away with literally everything we don't need.
Yeah. And that's, but then, you know, I'm all for investing in something that really does excite you and that you love, you know?
Yeah.
And something I'm always wanting to spend money on his books.
Yes.
So I think it's about choosing the parts of your life.
Exactly. My daughter was dressing up for the book week this week, and she went as Alice in Wonderland, and she said, oh, do we have an Alice in Wonderland book? And I'm like, oh, thinking back on all the Disney books, and I found in the cupboard an old version from 1939 that my mother had kept that belonged to her older sister.
Oh my gosh.
When she was at school, and then got passed on to my uncle, who's now 65. He had it at school, and it was just cute looking through what they'd underlined, the different phrases, and it really had a lot of memories. This one book, obviously, almost 100 years old.
Wow.
And it's gorgeous, yeah. So books, they hold memories, don't they?
So I think it's like declutter where there's no desire. You know, I feel like there's so much pressure now to buy into whether it's a brand or, you know, a trend or something that everyone else has, or you want to impress someone with your new sneakers or your new car or whatever it is, but choosing to invest in good essentials that you know you're going to get the use out of, whether that's beauty or skincare or the clothes you're going to wear every single day to work or to training or to whatever your life looks like. And then everything else.
Humans, I think, are psychologically, we just have to be a little bit more aware of what we're buying into as well.
Yes.
And I know it's hard because we have our favourite brands and we want to have a piece of that. But the fact is that the cycles are becoming shorter and shorter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the latest pair of trainers or the latest shirt or something used to be there for a year. Now it's every month or so. Every two months we're told we need something else. We're told we need the next, you know, latest model and such. And we just have to ask our questions. One, are people really noticing? And B, it's a tribal decision that we make because we identify ourselves with certain groups and we want to be part of that group. But at the same time, just look in and think, is that really where I'm finding my
joy.
Growth and my joy and my happiness, or is it just those efforts that ever since the playground, just being part of a certain group so that we feel that we belong. But, you know, sometimes we need to ask ourselves the question, is there more effort I can do within?
Yeah.
You know, what else can I do? So we don't need to be part of that certain group. We just need to do what's right. And it's great. Yeah. It's no problem. Like, you know, it's nothing better than getting the right, you know, pair of trainers or, again, a T-shirt or something like that. But just make sure that it's
meaningful to you as well.
Yeah, it's meaningful. Exactly. And that you really identify with the philosophy of that brand and where it's going. It's not just a commercial ploy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all for, you know, saving up for something and, you know, really – you know, if it makes going to bring that much happiness and excitement to your life, go for it. Back to your business. How long has Fataya been operating now?
I think it's been going. I've been selling now for about 3 years, two and a half, 3 years.
Wow, you've done well.
I know. Well, but in concept probably for about 4 years. Sure. It took a long time in that research and development. But look, it's hard. And the one – I don't know if it's an advantage, but the one thing is, because I mentioned earlier my dad had a skincare company.
Yes. So you grew up around that.
So I grew up around it, which was good, but I also saw how hard it was.
Mm.
So he literally, I mean, his brand is Dermaveen, so a lot of people will know that brand. It sells on the shelves in all supermarkets, and he sold it because his partner was quite sick at the time and he was reaching retirement age. But I just saw, you know, I mean, his business partner was travelling around Australia doing the thing, like sleeping in cars, you know, having 8 meetings a day, curating and doctors waiting in their surgeries, just waiting for 5 minutes to be able to speak to the doctor. It's really hard, and I know that because I've seen it firsthand. So I'm not expecting miracles or I'm not expecting a unicorn business, which what they call like amazingly successful
like
unicorns
success.
Overnight successes.
Yeah. But do they last?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't. So maybe sometimes they do. I don't know. But they might burn bright, but then burn out quickly is what might happen. But I want to be here for the long term.
Yes.
And it just takes a long time and it's not easy.
It's patience.
And as we were saying before, it's becoming really expensive these days because there's a lot of, the cost of running a business, there's a lot of costs involved.
Yes.
It was, I think there was a window of about a year ago, a window of opportunity where it was actually quite inexpensive, or maybe 2 years ago, if you got ahead in the Instagram and other social media, they can really find a presence. But now everybody's caught up and it's hugely competitive. And so you do have to invest a lot. And yeah, I would say that you just got to be prepared for it. Don't think it's easy. It's not. And of course it does happen. You might have an overnight success and that's fantastic. Well done, but it doesn't always happen.
And so, I think for the ones that might have that, breakthrough moment or they have a viral post or get that recognition quickly, I think what would make them last is by having that strong grounding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Putting in that early groundwork into the values, into the ethics of the product or the brand that you're creating.
Mm. Absolutely.
And planning for long term. And then if it happens earlier, great. But
exactly. And as we've talked about before, it's becoming more, there's more on the news about the breakdowns that some entrepreneurs and founders are experiencing, the emotional breakdowns, the chronic diseases that they're suffering. And I've been to, more than my fair share of talks and conferences where the founder of huge companies that we probably all know about have stood up there and they said, be careful what you wish for. Because I was working unbelievable hours and this is what's happened to my health. And sometimes it's not all cracked up for what's cracked up for what it's meant to be, and you just have to really look after yourself and think and be really careful about what your goals are and what you really want from that business, and just know that it's not necessarily going to bring you any happiness or anything like that, because everybody tells us that it doesn't. It's really, again, just being happy on the inside. Don't expect a business or being successful in business is really, it makes things easier.
Yes.
But
in some ways.
Yeah, exactly. It does make things easier if you are successful and obviously you get the financial security. But it's hard, and don't burn out and don't destroy your health for the sake of it, because it's not worth it.
Yeah.
So I'm quite conscious of that as well.
Yeah. So what would your definition of success look like then?
Yeah. I mean, my definition of success is just being able to be happy as a retired person. So I guess I'm aiming for my 50s. That's ultimately where I'd like to be, taking steps, spending more time with my kids, with my family. But at the same time, my definition of happiness is being able to spend time with my family now.
Yeah.
So therefore not working in a business where I'm working, 70 hours a week and I'm foregoing valuable time with my kids and with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
It's being able to manage a business and being able to spend time with my family and being able to focus on my health and being able to focus on my husband and just growing the family, because I've seen it's just not worth it.
It's the balance in the process.
The balance, exactly. And if that means that you're forsaking a company that could potentially be worth, I don't know, like whatever, hundreds of millions or 10 million, who cares? Because really, do we need that amount of money? No.
What are you going to do with it? And, there's so many things showing that there are, the link between money and happiness doesn't exist.
No, exactly. And I think that's a huge problem with our society as well, because people are accumulating extraordinary amounts of money and, hundreds of millions of dollars, and their definition of success is having a business that's worth that amount of money or even having $50 million. Okay, I appreciate it. It's nice to have a house and own your house. It's nice to have a holiday house.
Like you said, it's helpful.
So my ultimate goal is just to be happy, just to be calm and not – so they're calm, not have to worry, not have to worry about paying a mortgage off when I'm in my 50s. Not have to worry about, I want to be able to help my kids with their education and being able to, just basically takes a pressure off them.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's not having a multi-million.
Yeah. And then you look at like the kids who do have parents who are financially successful, let's say at that level, and they're not necessarily better off for it. It's one thing to support your kids, but then when you look at the kids that were given everything,
yeah,
you know, like
Definitely.
Now they're because off often living on their parents' credit card and not particularly doing anything valuable.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I've always had a bit of a motto that I've always said to other working mums is that, like, you know, always give time to your kids. And that if I'm working in the office, if one of my daughters comes up and wants to have a cuddle or wants to tell me something, I'll always shut down, close the computer, laptop, put it down or put my phone down and just listen.
Like, that's the priority.
Because that's the priority, because that's what it's all about. There's no point working our butts off for the next 10 years and then having $100 million go, okay, now kids, I've got time for you, because that's too late, because they're going to be, as you said before, their value, they'll identify your love through the amount of money that you're giving them, or the credit card, unlimited credit card,
that or you're Euro trips them, or cars,
and that's only going to end in it's only going to end in disaster. Yeah. Well, not all the time, but a lot of the time it does. So yeah, it's just being more realistic, and I think a lot of us have to think about that. Think, what is do we need that much?
Yeah, and that's something I'm working on at the moment. Goal setting is a really big practice of mine, something I'm always working on. I've actually just put up a free resource on my website.
Great.
Like a goals 101, sort of talking people through the process. So it can be quite a daunting thing to do for those that doesn't come naturally to. So I've just put that up there. So that's something that could help. But in that process and thinking about the business and going, no, the money doesn't mean anything. Yes, to a point, to be able to sustain the business, just to be able to continually create and do what I love. Mm. But that's not the end goal at all. Mm. So, but working out what the end point then looks like is interesting, because they often get tied together. You know, if you're making an impact, you might be getting the money. But
exactly. Yeah. I mean, I would love everyone to stop over-consuming and using hundreds of different cosmetics, face oils, and just to realise that there's no value there. If you're spending $500 on a face oil or $300 on a face oil, you're really not getting value, because you could get the same face oil for, like, probably $20, $30. I know, because I make them and I know the costs. And for people just to be more wise about their choices and to use multi-use products and thereby living a more sustainable life, cutting down on the amount of plastics that are in our environment and just being smarter about it.
Yeah.
And not having these ultimate goals of just consuming, 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 wanting, wanting, wanting.
And with that balance, that definition of success you came up with, is there anyone who particularly typifies that for you, that really is a role model to you, anyone you are inspired by?
There's somebody that I met in the islands, Samoa. She was this lady, Adi Tafune, which is short for Adi Malenga. And she was, so I called up this, the island, I called up the organisation, Women in Business and Development, and just looking for oils and just asked to speak to her, was put onto her. And I thought, oh, anyway, so I had a really lovely conversation with her, and I talked about buying soaps and oils from them. And obviously put the phone down and then thought, I wonder who is this lady anyway. So I Googled her, and there she is with Hillary Clinton and Dionne von Furstenberg, won all these awards, with the United Nations for commitment to women in business. And I found her so inspiring. So I went to Samoa and about to source the oils, and I met her obviously, and I said, asked her the same question. I said, how do you know what you're doing, whether you're on the right path, or how do you know you're doing the right thing? She said, the way that we've done it, we've just always asked our questions. If you know you're doing the right thing, what you feel is doing the right thing, it is the right thing. And by right thing, it's the right thing for humanity. It's the right thing for growth. It's the right thing for the community. And if you're ticking all those boxes, then then you're on the right track. So she's been hugely inspiring. And yeah, I mean, I'd also have to say Richard Branson, I'm always quite inspired by, because he's such a great family man. He's managed to keep the balance in check, and, you know, he's overcome enormous difficulties to do that. It's mainly just finding people that are able to keep that balance.
Yeah.
And that are essentially their ultimate goal is to, for the betterment of humanity, not purely just to buy 10 boats, 10 houses. Not being offensive to anybody, but.
No. Yeah. And I love the way that often ties into personal goals. So we look at who inspires us and the values they have and how that comes into what we want for ourselves day to day.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
one of the tools I use when helping people to set goals for themselves. It's like, well, if you don't know what you want, look at people that have what you want, and then you go, oh, I actually do know, because that's what I want to embody.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. And and I think these days, so we're able to manage our lives, so we're able to manage our businesses on a small level, as we are. We're both working on for ourselves, we've got our businesses, and therefore it's not just a business, not just a process of selling. It's a lifestyle.
Yes.
And working it into that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So as you're promoting like wellness, health and fitness and diet and you know, achieving personal goals, you know, it's being a spokesperson for what you essentially believe in and sharing it. It's not being afraid to share either, mm-hmm. because it is a challenge to get out there and to speak up. But the worst scenario is that you don't do it and you spend your life wondering what if. So better just to do it. And, we'll all, I think, be better off listening to everybody's ideas and concepts, particularly if they are feeling it's the right thing and it's for the betterment of everybody. And, with the ethos of sustainability at heart, I think that's really, it's a positive way for all.
And I love that it's something every brand can have a consideration for. It doesn't have to be your core driver, but there is a way to consider it in everything you do.
Well, and exactly. And that's what – it doesn't have to be your core driver, but let's face it, that's what drives you.
Yes.
Because if you are wondering, oh, what am I doing? Am I just selling soap? Or what am I doing? Am I just selling like shoes or
tights?
Yeah. Yeah, tights, really. Do we need any more tights? Exactly. Really, do we need any more soap or skincare? And you have to think, well, no, what am I really trying to do? What am I really trying to bring to this? And what is it that's not there? Why aren't the other companies doing it? And the fact is, it's bringing it to that next level where it's not just soap. It's actually a way to be more to be more streamlined, to be more, you know, environmentally aware with what you use, just using quality products that are at an affordable price point for everyday use and thereby cutting down on the amount of plastics. Yeah, it's been a journey. It is the journey.
And yes.
It's you know, managing the life, you know, expectations with lifestyle, and it's enabling it to be – because we all want to sleep at night.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want to be up worrying about everything. Yeah, so it's – yeah, you have to feel – that you're actually achieving, that you're actually giving something back, that you're sharing something.
Yeah. And in the process of building your business over the last few years, what's been the biggest challenge for you?
As I said before, it's time. It's funds, money, you know, investment. It's doing everything myself. It's, you know, I've teamed up with a digital marketing agency at the moment, so hopefully that will take a bit of the load off. But it's, you know, it's really just managing the sales with the, you know, with the expenditure, with the marketing, because everything, as we said before, it is expensive.
Yeah.
There's a lot you have to do.
Yes.
And I was laughing with a friend the other day. I was saying, you know, it's not just going to a shop and selling through a shop. These days we're selling through Facebook,
so many
Instagram,
channels.
Pinterest, Etsy, Amazon, and then of course there's other like Asian type countries. There's obviously Alibaba. So it's just never ending. So therefore we have to be on top of all these different channels, which makes it really challenging, costly.
Particularly as a small business.
As a small business owner, it's amazing. So yeah, I'd say if you can find somebody that you have a like-minded beliefs that you can team up with, then that's always usually beneficial. And particularly where you can balance each other. I think that's the challenge, what we talked about before. So we might be more of a creative type, so therefore it makes sense to team up and to partner with somebody that was more of a financial type person, you know. And then that sort of balancing, let's face it, the old right, left brain, you know, to make a whole, and that can work quite well. But again, it's finding the right person.
Yeah.
Not everybody.
And I think something I'm struggling with is knowing – I mean, it's, you know, it's such early stages, but knowing the path and trusting the outcome when you don't really know, okay, should I be spending the money on the marketing, or should I spend it on the product development, or should I spend it on, like, obviously, you know, you're making the right call with the marketing because that is such an integral thing. But like, when you have to make those decisions, you go, well, how much do I put in? Do I get someone to do my social media, or do I get someone to do all of it, or do I release a new product?
Yes. I know. And then somebody decisions. Exactly. I know. And then somebody was saying to me, oh, you can just do all the digital marketing. You know, you can, and I'm like, no, I can't, because I can't I can obviously do the podcasts or the online tutorials, but let's say if I spend 5 hours doing that, let's say if I spend eight or even
what doesn't 12 hours, get done.
Exactly, what doesn't get done. And am I going to then with my 12 hours of online tutorials going to have the same amount of experience as somebody that spent 15 years doing it? Yeah. No. So obviously I'd rather somebody that spent 15 years doing it and really understand what they're doing, but then of course I have to pay them.
Yeah.
But therefore I have to find the right person.
I know. And I think it's important as the founder, as the owner, to have an understanding of all the different areas.
Mm.
So to know enough that you can, you know, sort of jump in and have an input and have a voice and an understanding of whatever this person is doing for you, but then also knowing your limits, being like, okay, I know this much, but you know
exactly
that much more, that's when I'm going to bring someone in.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, there are huge advantages with automations these days. We also have the advantage of virtual assistants. So I do have somebody that helps me with accounting offshore, and that's really beneficial. But yeah, it's knowing what your ability are, where your strengths are, and being able to focus on that. Mm. But that's a challenge of business, particularly in the early days, because you're trying to do everything yourself.
Yeah,
and it's really hard to it's scary having to spend more and more money, not knowing where the business is going, and at what point do you say enough's enough?
Yeah,
business is not working, and yeah, that's where I've spoken to a few older people. Older people meaning people that have retired who have been really successful in business, and I've asked them that question. You know, did you? Particularly, I find it really valuable speaking to people that have had a few failed businesses. I find those people really helpful.
Yeah.
Because I find out what happened, and usually it is just spending far too much money on things that don't on just. What they don't need,
you know,
on airfares, flying business class or staying in expensive hotels or too many staff. And so therefore you do have to do everything yourself in the early days, and you have to do it on the smell of an oily rag, as they say.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you know, at what point did they feel like they needed to take a risk to get to that next level? And, you know, it was interesting. It often does take a few failures to get to that end game, and it's being persistent. And that's the key, is being persistent and really believing in what you do. And it always takes huge risks. Huge risks is, you know, nothing happens without it. Enormous risk.
Yeah, it's like every dollar that comes back in, goes back in.
Exactly. So whatever you're spending money on, if it's marketing, as we talked about, or, you know, what you're actually not, where you're not confident in, that's going to take some money, and it's always a risk of however you spend it. And you have to be prepared that sometimes it's not going to work.
Yep.
But then you have to think, okay, well, how can I improve that? What can I do? And sometimes it's finding the right person that you can really click with. And it takes a long time to find that right person sometimes, and don't settle on the first person you meet, because I've done that before as well, and just found that, that doesn't, particularly when it comes to signing up with other marketing agencies, because they'll have a high turnover of staff or high turnover account managers. And just as I connect with one person, then a new person will be involved. Yeah. So that's definitely challenging. But it is a huge risk.
The next one, you've touched on it a little already, and it's a question I always ask, and it's, what do you want the legacy to be, or your personal legacy, whether it's yours or the brand's?
I mean, look, I would love my kids to be working in the brand on Vitea in 20 years' time, maybe, or 15 years' time. My legacy would be, I would love people to look at for plants as being healing, for plant oils as being healing, and not using synthetic compounds that are damaging the skin, and therefore being more... just making that change towards a more natural, sustainable lifestyle, incorporating that into all facets of the life, and living a more clutter-free life, living more minimalist nightlife, and therefore cutting down the amount of plastic.
Fantastic. And then the last one, what's exciting at the moment? What are you excited about?
Yeah, so I'm excited about the prospect of really going online and really doing a lot online and seeing how that could really develop. Because, look, again, this is a huge risk I'm taking, because I have teamed up with a company and they essentially have a percentage of the business now. But I think I just don't know. I don't know how it's going to work out.
As in e-commerce?
Yeah, as in e-commerce. So I'm doing a lot of videos next week. I've got a great family that will be featured in the video. and got a really good videographer to do that. So that's obviously, you know, a bit of an investment. But I'm really hoping that that will take Vitae to the next level and then being able to share this online and be able to reach a huge amount of people to share our beliefs of freedom and simplicity, cutting down on clutter, being more free about the way we approach our skincare and haircare and cosmetics. And yeah, just being able to share those ideals and concepts and hopefully.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so this is, yeah, so we'll hope so.
No,
yeah.
I think that's definitely the right move. You know, if I go to buy anything like this, the first place I go is online. I don't go to stores anymore.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I mean, I might see it there, but then I'm going to go buy it online.
Yeah.
And so for people who are looking to find Vitae, where can they find it?
Well, there's a few different online shops, but we sell through also our own online store, Vitae, V-A-T-E-A, vitae.com.au. Mm-hmm. And we also sell through, different retail outlets around Australia.
Cool.
Obviously Sydney, Melbourne,
and you're on social
Queensland media
as well.
On social media, Instagram, Vitae_Australia, and Facebook, Vitae Australia, Pinterest, Vitae Australia.
Et cetera, et cetera. Cool.
Well, exactly.
I'll pop the main links in the description so everyone will be able to get a hold of the product.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Liz.
My pleasure.
We'll tie up there.
Thank you.
I've learnt a lot, got some cool ideas.
Yeah, great.
I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Power Talks on the Valkyrie Podcast. Let us know what you thought of the episode by giving us a rating or review. If you loved what you've heard, please share and subscribe to keep the inspiration coming. You can find us at valkyrieathletic.com or on Instagram at valkyrieathletic. I'm your host, Meg Nicholson, and this is the Valkyrie Podcast.